Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 125 of the Open Mic Podcast. It's your host, Brett Allen. Thanks for being here today. We have another fantastic episode lined up for you. Today on the program, we have Arnold V. Strong. He is the communications director for Unify Earth, humanizing the blockchain. We're going to talk about humanitarian aid over in the Bahamas. We're also going to chat about blockchains and cryptocurrency and how all of those things uniquely work together. And it's a fun message that Arnold has. I'm excited to share it with you. And honestly, I wasn't super familiar with this topic before he and I chatted. I obviously had done research and checked into things, but this is something new to me. And that's really the beauty of the podcast is our mantra has always been no topic is off limits. And we've had a lot of different people on board and lots of different conversations. But I'm excited about this one for you folks to listen to. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can head over to theopenmicpodcast.net. Shoot us an email, openmicguests@gmail.com. That's where you're going to find all of the latest information about the show, all of our most recent interviews, and everything that you ever wanted to know about me and the show. Thanks again for joining in regularly and supporting the podcast. It really means a lot that you want to be a part of it, that you participate in it actively for following us on social media. All of these things that you do, it just means the absolute world. And it just makes it fun and really motivates us to continue to do this on a regular basis. It's the weekend, and I hope everybody has something fun planned. I know I'll be spending time with my son and just chilling out in the East Bay over here and just having fun. It's supposed to be warm weather here for us this weekend, so I'm super excited about that. It'll be a nice time. Hopefully, we'll spend not a lot of time in front of the television and more time outside just doing lots of physical activities. And as he gets older, he becomes more active and wants to do other things. So I love that about my kid. And I hope you have a good weekend as well and that you're safe. So without further ado, we will jump into today's interview. Arnold, welcome to the podcast. It is good to have you here today, sir.
It's good to be here. Thanks so much.
Yes, I am very excited to chat with you. And for the listeners, sometimes how podcasting works, life happens and you have to reschedule interviews. I think the last time we were scheduled to talk, my son wound up going into urgent care. And so we had to reschedule. But I'm glad we're here today. I'm excited to chat with you. This should be a fun and informative conversation for sure. You are a humanitarian, a communication strategist, and a management consultant and a visionary for a company called Unify Earth, humanizing the blockchain. And I had not heard of you before until an introduction was made. And you're also retired military as well. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about all of that.
Well, I love the grandiosity of that introduction. I like to think of myself as just as just a person trying to do good in the world. I'm a retired United States Army colonel. I got out as a captain in 2000. Moved to Portland, Oregon, and was working in sort of .com public relations. My background is I was a Ranger infantry guy. I was an airborne Ranger and all that. And then I the Army selected me to be a public affairs officer based on my UCLA English degree. And I just thought, okay. And then I sort of found my niche in communications and being a and being a film producer and being a newspaper editor and being a the guy they plant in front of the camera to tell the story. And so that that sort of is where I found my niche. And then I leveraged that into public relations, was doing that for a couple of years when 9/11 took place. And I immediately wondered, why I was out of uniform. And so I returned initially. I was there in Oregon, returned to the Oregon National Guard, became the spokesman for the military department there. I went to Afghanistan in 03. I went to Iraq in 04, 05. I went to Afghanistan again in 06, 07. Then I transitioned from the Guard to the Reserve just for command opportunities, and it was sort of a better fit. I was able to command at the lieutenant colonel level, returning to Los Angeles, which is where I'm originally from. And then I made full colonel. I did a tour in Hawaii and then returned here to Southern California, where I retired about 2 years ago. And then sort of transitioning that, the Army was very good to me. In 30 years, I traveled to 47 countries. I speak several languages now. I've met a lot of people all over the world and done relief operations, done peacekeeping operations, done deployments to war zones, in Iraq and Afghanistan. But really sort of seen an awful lot of the world that, and it always makes me incredibly thankful for everything that we're blessed with in the United States. The things we take for granted. You mentioned your son. I remember one time my son, who's now turning 25 in a couple of weeks, he was kvetching on the phone in the winter about, having to wait in the rain for a bus. And that very day, I had seen two Afghan boys in a snowstorm sharing a single blanket, otherwise wearing sandals and shorts, ice skating across a frozen mud pool, and hear my son's kvetching about waiting in the rain in a Columbia jacket while, waiting 10 minutes for a bus to show up. I said, "Hey, kiddo, I just don't want you ever to complain about anything ever again." I left the service in 2017, and immediately the very next day was working for an artificial intelligence startup here in Southern California, and leveraged sort of my communication skill on, telling the story and communicating with media and building sort of an internal communication strategy for an AI company. That company didn't succeed. I mean, it made a lot of success, but it didn't sustain like a lot of startups don't. And right as it was starting to become evident that was going to happen, that a friend and mentor of mine that I'd had up in Portland, Oregon, reached out and asked if I was interested in exploring something on the blockchain. I said, "Oh, the blockchain is fascinating. I've been reading a lot about it." I went to an O'Reilly Media conference and had learned a little bit about it. I thought I was going to be up there for 5 days, and I ended up staying 5 months there. We rented out an Airbnb, and we just sort of, put our noggins together and sort of build and recruit a great team, and really just designed what I think is truly, one of the, most extraordinary developments inside the blockchain in history. And I don't know if much of your listener base is very read into the blockchain or what that's really all about. But the blockchain is truly, we think of it as sort of the emergence of a fourth industrial revolution. I mean, the blockchain is, if anything, it's a truth ledger, an immutable truth ledger. So that if that go-to-market strategy has really been sort of cryptocurrencies. Everyone knows about Bitcoin and Litecoin and EOS and Ethereum, and crypto is ultimately to email what the blockchain is to the internet.
Okay.
It's a backbone that enables truly any block of information that gets put together, you know, Arnold Strong, I'm Social Security number this, I'm credit rating this, I'm, you know, everything that is sort of what we call personally identifiable information or PII, once that is demonstrated to be true, that can ultimately be removed from exchange across this blockchain or this, you know, this new internet, if you will, because we don't want to have personally identifiable information, you know, discoverable by others. Once something is discovered to be true, it's true to every block. It enters a blockchain, it enters everything that touches that blockchain. And so you can't have double spins, you can't have you have a lessened need for agency and escrow in real estate transactions. If you're selling a piece of property, I'm buying a piece of property, we do that across the block, we realize that, you know, there's less of a need for those intermediaries, those middlemen, to each grab another cut, because we don't have to validate that. You and I are speaking the truth. It's demonstrably true by looking at the data that's out there upon the blockchain. So we know there's a lot less, you know, need to validate and a lot less need for these middlemen in transaction, because it becomes an instantaneous transaction. You know, I send, there doesn't need to be banking fees, et cetera. So it's hard to get in a brief period of time. It's hard to just, you know, understand how much of an evolution the blockchain truly is.
Yeah, I find it so interesting and intriguing. And before I was introduced to you, quite honestly, I had no idea what the blockchain was. And so over the months that we've had before we chatted, I've done my research and I've looked into it. And I find it so interesting. And I appreciate your explanation of what it is and cryptocurrency. Now, the big question I have is this something that is going to, in your view, replace traditional transactions and banking in the near future? Or is this something that is just early on the horizon and this is an opportunity for people like yourself or myself, rather, to get in on the ground floor of it, so to speak?
Well, yeah, I think both. I think that, you know, if you listen to guys like Tim Draper, he thinks within a couple of years we're going to be able to buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks within a couple of years with Bitcoin.
Yes.
I think that's a rapid evolution and development, but sometimes a stretch. But also, you know, I live in downtown Long Beach, California, and the 7-Eleven across the street from where I live now has a Bitcoin ATM right next to the other ATM. You know, mind you, I think its positioning stinks because it's right next to an ATM and a lottery, you know, booth where it's like, you know, it's like, are you going to get cash or are you going to run the risk of, you know, of an internet, you know, evolution called the blockchain? I think it's a little sort of a strange, you know, positioning, but no, I think that it is changing and evolving very much within the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to become incredibly much more normal to do transactions with coin and then to also offer on exchange different coins. You know, it's like there's an awful lot of instability out there in the evolution. You know, it's funny because it would have cost you a little less than $1,000 to purchase a Bitcoin in January of 2017, 2 years ago. But then, you know, a year later, it would have been worth $14,000. And yet by the end of 2018, just 2 months ago, it would have been worth about $4,000. And so that's a pretty sensational up and down journey because it's sort of normalizing and people are understanding its market and understanding its use and listening to analysts that are saying positive or negative things. I mean, certainly if you study the market in any context, you know, you see how what people say and write about different stocks drastically affects those stocks. Look at what's going on with Tesla these days and SpaceX, et cetera. You know, it definitely has an awful lot to do with that hype cycle. But the reality is all that up and down really obscures what's happening inside blockchain. I mean, the core blockchain, you know, functionality that is underlying you know, Bitcoin and EOS and Ethereum and all those other coins is really being leveraged to do huge things across every industry. I mean, real estate, finance, music, film production. You know, it's literally sort of a game changing technology. And what we realized is, and why we sort of, you know, why we came up with the term Unify Earth and as our, as not only our company and our brand, but also really our mission is we realized that, you know, in order to best deploy this with ethics, with what we call, we're a values first, values forward organization. Mm-hmm. We have formed our company around providing service to companies and individuals and countries and organizations that align themselves as much as possible around the 17 Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. The UN, you know, has, in a global perspective, you know, really every nation on planet Earth has basically agreed that in the next 17 years or next 12 years, we can focus on these 17 goals that, you know, really can focus on improving the lives and you know, improving everything for everybody, ultimately realizing with number one, no poverty. You know, we really can end poverty in our lifetimes, you know, regardless of your age. I'm 51. We can end poverty with a lot, with some real simple changes. You know, right now we've got so much wealth consolidated in so few hands and in so few places. We really can make it easier for people to have a basic level of, you know, quality of life around planet Earth. There's more than enough to go around. You evolve that into the different sustainable development goals of ending poverty, of, you know, taking action on climate change, on gender equality, on forming partnerships. I mean, there's each of those goals represents, you know, several dozen smaller goals. And we figure that aligning ourselves with the 17 SDGs is a way that we can really, you know, humanize the blockchain and enable, which is, of course, our term and our trademark, but really sort of evolve, you know, humanity focused on the good for everyone. You know, we really do think that if you want to make a difference, like, you know, and I can give you some different examples of some of the companies we're partnering with, et cetera, as we evolve the interview. But I think I'm sort of talking a lot and not playing back and forth with you.
No. I really appreciate the explanation. It's funny you mention the ATM machine and the Bitcoin machine at the 7-Eleven at the mall here where I live. There was a Bitcoin machine there as well. And it had a lot of people gathered around it, just kind of trying to figure out what it was and what it did and that sort of thing. But I think it's great to really define our terms as far as what it is that you do. And I want to talk about the humanitarian aid part as well, because I'm curious about the connection and the choice of the Bahamas. I find it also interesting, but I want to just back up if we can for a second. And for somebody who, like myself, was completely clueless about Bitcoin and the blockchain, what are some places that people can go to really understand what it is and how it actually works as far as purchasing it and that sort of thing? Because I know on your website, you're like, we're offering, you know, 10 free coins and a wallet and that sort of thing. And so I want to make sure that we understand exactly what that means and what somebody's getting. And once you buy it, you know, how do you spend it and how do you trade it and how does it work? Because obviously it's a form of currency and people seem to think that it's going to be bigger and more prevalent than it is now. And I think it's important for our listeners to kind of to grasp that part, because if it's something that's coming, we need to know what's coming, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, first and foremost, you know, we are a blockchain company. And yes, indeed, we have our own coin, the UEX, to be launched on a Unify Earth exchange. We're preparing to open up our exchanges here in Q1. of this current year. We're preparing to do a couple announcements just you know, our website is unified.earth. And, you know, and once you sign up for your wallet, it's not only just like the traditional definition of a wallet where you've got a billfold and that stores your cash. Certainly that is your digital wallet that we'll be able to download your 10 free UEX tokens into. But in a very short period of time, we think of the wallet as really sort of a way to be sort of a digital tool through which you not only will be able to conduct transaction, but receive, you know, your news, receive company announcements, see what you track your interests and tailor, you know, what you want to learn more about in sort of a daily feed. You know, it's, you know, one of our clients and one of our uses, we call it a life wallet, you know, where literally you check, you know, right now people wake up and they check their Facebook feed, or they looked at LinkedIn, or they look at the Wall Street Journal app, or they look at so many different sources of media. If you could containerize that into the same device or portal through which you use to do your money shopping, or your shopping with different currencies, your trading, you're going back and forth in exchange, you're understanding your investment. Really, if you have that life wallet, that portal through which not only you can see all that, but through which that becomes truly, you know, a tier one tool to, you know, to really be able to use as your portal into everything that interests you. So you don't have so many disparate and distracted, you know, resources. We are very much about sovereignty is the word that I'm looking for, is truly the autonomy of the individual, the autonomy and sovereignty of individuals in their data. You know, right now you go into any website, any news site, you go into Facebook, you go into any social medium, and you've got terms and agreements that most of us don't really read. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got about 10 pages of legally binding contract that you enter when you enter that. And right now, your data, you sign over your data, the sites that you look at, the news articles you read, the things that you like, the things that you heart, the things that you interact with. All that is data that then, you know, the institution that you're using, whether it be a Facebook or a news site or whatever, they're collecting that. Mm-hmm. They're using that because data truly is, you know, an evolution of currency. You know, it's like data is information is power. They used to say, well, the harvesting of data that's happening on a daily basis that we're sort of blind to is leveraged against you. You know, I go into I have a conversation with my fiance about a certain music, and suddenly I'm seeing ads for that music on my Facebook, you know, feed or my social media feed. It's like, that's odd. You know, why? Because I have access to my microphone, and I've given them access to my data, and I've given them access to what I like and listen to. We think that people, organizations, agencies, countries should have control of their own data. Mm-hmm. If you want to authorize a medical company to use your data, you ought to be compensated for that. You know, we're very mature in one of our relationships. We're with a company that we're doing the final coordination with right now and just making sure that we've got our master agreement in place, et cetera. But Kinect, and their website is Kinect Hub, Kinect Hub is their website. But Kinect, their goal is to stop the spread of infectious diseases in Africa. And so how do you do that? Well, you incentivize behavior. You tokenize behavior. You realize that right now it can be, you know, a bit of a stigma going in to get an HIV test in continental Africa, in East Africa. Anywhere, but let's just use that as an example. What if you were incentivized so that it was a good thing, so that every time you went in to get an HIV test or tested for any other infectious disease spreading, you actually received coins that awarded digital currency that awarded that behavior. And if we speak about Africa, I mean, it's like Africa and India are two of the, you know, Asia and Africa are really two of the fastest growing markets where it comes to digital currency and digital interaction, because it really does, again, it offers that sovereignty. When you are trying to bring that your goats to market in, let's say, Tanzania, and you are trying to get through that, and you're a single mother who has lost her husband to war or famine, you have to broker a deal with the elders of your village to ensure that you can get to market. That loses some of your money. You've got to broker a deal with the local police to get past the checkpoints. That loses some of your money. You know, literally, when you're trying to just sell goat milk at market, you end up losing all your profit. You end up staying in poverty. If you tokenize that, digitize that, you have a transaction that goes not even with smartphones. I mean, you're talking about old Motorola flip phones that you enter your 16 to 25 digit code into that interaction along with another that goes right through that. You've got then digital currency that you've done a one-for-one exchange rather than having to pay off all these different, you know, middlemen in between. You actually start to make real money. You actually start to lift your quality of life, enable your children to go to school, and it, you know, fundamentally improves the economy. That's the type of interaction and the type of behavior we hope to see grow is really from the bottom up. I mean, certainly you're going to have a little bit of top down in that, you know, that it's something that is taking on, you know, world banking systems and the world financial order in this evolution of digital currency. And certainly banks are going to need to evolve to work with
sure
this, but also we really see it as sort of focusing on a bottom-up, top-down evolution that enables everybody to improve their quality of life.
Yeah, I just find that so interesting and so intriguing. And it sounds like from what you're saying and just news articles out there that that's not too horribly far down the line as far as being part of everyday life for most of us who bank and shop and buy food and everything else, or even, like you mentioned, a Starbucks cup of coffee doing it via Bitcoin versus, you know, using, well, anything like the Apple Wallet is almost kind of similar to it, really, because you're putting your data in there and your debit card. And I just recently upgraded my phone to, you know, the iPhone XS Max or whatever, and all I have to do is look at it and it puts a charge through when I use Apple Pay or whatever. So honestly, it's really not too far-fetched of an idea to believe that there's going to be an even better secure system to do transactions, because allegedly this is supposed to be secure, you know, the thumbprint ID, and now they've gotten rid of that. And now they're just simply doing, look at your phone and boom, you know, you're doing a transaction at your Starbucks or your McDonald's or wherever. Wow. It's crazy how fast technology moves. Never in a million years would I have ever thought we would be here, but to be there as to what you're describing is just really mind-blowing in a lot of ways. So the big question I have is, where does the gap get bridged as far as that and humanitarian aid and the fact that you chose to move to the Caribbean to really almost like a test market, I would say, is kind of what it is. Because I was watching some videos on YouTube and the community there seems to be open to what you're doing. How did you decide this is where we want to go and this is how we're going to bridge the gap between this and humanitarian aid?
Well, I mean, we literally, one of the reasons really are one of our founding partners, the Honorable Sidney Stubbs, a former member of parliament. He's a, he's, you know, an established, you know, businessman and former diplomat there in the Bahamas. We are actually, I'm actually preparing myself, my fiance and I are getting ready to move there next month so that we can join them there in the headquarters. I mean, the Bahamas truly is like best in class legal and financial services. You know, internet, it's an international business port and sort of a world hub. It's, you know, we don't think of this, but the Bahamas truly has 280 years of stable parliamentary democracy. you know, it's a place that's got a real tax neutral platform without like income, estate, capital gains, you know, taxes, mm-hmm. and there's no restrictions on the repatriation of funds. It's one of the highest ranking nations for civil rights and civil liberties in the Western Hemisphere. You know, it's the home of a third of the world's top 100 banks. But most importantly, it is a crypto and blockchain friendly environment. And there are moves inside the parliament and the legislature there to really sort of enable a leadership position inside blockchain and crypto. And now, mind you, it's also a place that we realize is at risk of the very things that we're concerned about, climate change. You know, climate change right now, the oceans are growing from not just the melt of, you know, both of our poles and a lot of glacial melt, and sea rise is actually happening, and it's going to cause some catastrophic damage. You know, as a retired Army colonel, I just read a report from the Department of Defense, which, you know, maps that 17 major installations, military installations, are at gross risk over the next decade, you know, never mind, you know, the next several decades. But within the next decade, they see an awful lot of risk due to climate change. So certainly an island nation in the Caribbean is going to be very much at risk. We see, you know, a lot of sort of synergies in a lot of things that we've got to evolve with the way we do, never mind commerce and trade, but the way we just interact as a global population on planet Earth, recognizing that we need to face some of the challenges facing us scientifically, but also we need to change some of the behavior that's gotten us here. So one of the things that the Unify Earth blockchain, there's of great benefit is it uses a, you know, because ultimately digital currency is based on, you know, computers doing an awful lot of very complex algorithmic, you know, math to come up with a solution that becomes a coin, if you will. And it's not, coin is one of the worst phrases, but, you know, for use in this, you know, economy and transaction, it's probably, you know, it's a usable term, but it's ultimately a mathematical solution that you're solving. You've got computers that are going to be doing a lot of math and a lot of problem solving. That takes a lot of money and a lot of power. And we can't conserve power if we continue to use more power to drive a digital economy. Our algorithm uses less computer power, almost a half as much as what it takes to produce a single Bitcoin. So we're going to be using less energy. We want to put in alternative sources of power there in the Bahamas. We're looking at solar arrays and using, you know, wind turbines and using an awful lot of different energy sources to continue to support our mining activities. You know, it's a good move for financial reasons. It's a good move to have an agency that's here in the Western Hemisphere that is, you know, globally renowned as being a banking hub where we can take advantage of the incentives that the government is offering to build a real blockchain and crypto friendly enterprise within the Bahamas. And really, while we think that we'll be headquartered there in the Bahamas, we also, you know, realize that we already have a pretty global map for where we'll be having our exchanges, where we'll be having international offices, and where we'll be. And, you know, so I'm sorry, but that's ultimately where and why we chose the Bahamas. We've got our president and CEO based there. We've got several of our board members based there, and we just realized that, you know, we want to take advantage of the legislative environment and the banking environment as much as possible.
So again, past that, do you have plans to go other places in the future as far as other countries who need assistance as well?
Well, yeah. And like I said, I think that what you'll see coming up through this first quarter is a series of announcements that'll position where different international locations will be launching our exchanges. Different locations will be offering different satellite offices. Some of those will be in Europe. Some of those will be in Asia. Some of those will be in the Middle East. You know, we've got a global plan, and you know, are properly capitalized to expand this and to facilitate growth. You know, really, to facilitate the change that we need to see. We know, I mean, like in the Army, you've got to have classes of supply. In business, you pretty much got to have capital. You got to have capital to sort of, you know, serve as that oil for the machinery. And we're properly capitalized, and we're ready to bring this solution to market in a global frame.
Wow. Well, I think it's fantastic what you're doing and very interesting. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for you and your team. And this becoming more of a nationally recognized type of organization, and cryptocurrency and blockchain, all of that just becoming more and more part of people's everyday lives. And I don't think it's that far down the road from what you're describing. I think it could be one in the next 5 years, maybe 10 years tops, where this is just going to be overly consuming. Now, if people want to get involved or perhaps maybe be a part of this, are you opening that up to people at some point down the road to come out there and be part of this infrastructure that you're building, or how is that part going to work?
First thing to do is what I'd encourage your listeners to do is not to be, you know, really focused exclusively on ourselves, but I would tell you our own website is unified.earth. It's certainly a good place to start. You learn a lot there. We're actually going through a pretty massive evolution of our website. So this sort of go-to-market site is a good just basic information tool. We've got two ebooks that are linked there on the site, where you can actually see the ebooks that we've published from very different perspectives across the industry. We interviewed a lot of experts for that. We've got one that's there on our site that is what we call intelligent communities, because we see this as really, we see the city as the ultimate, not state, not governance, but the ultimate platform is the city. Cities can change much more, they're much more nimble than entire countries in their ability to sort of see and react and evolve to change, where at the city level you can put in smarter infrastructure a lot faster than you can at a national level or an international level. You can adapt inside, you know, you can put the smart traffic controls, the smart parking scenarios, the data-enabled, you know, areas that know where it's safer for dog walking areas, for street control, for solving homelessness, for all these problems that cities face. We know that making intelligent cities or you know, intelligent communities, smart cities, if you will, is where it's going to start. We think that that's really a platform. There's one of our ebooks is about what we call intelligent communities there on the website. But also just to look up and realize that the blockchain has a lot out there. There's some great writers that are publishing amazing, you know, books. I just downloaded a new book just yesterday. It only came out a couple days ago, Unblocked, How Blockchains Will Change Business and What They Can Do About It. Allison McCulley wrote that book. It's a brilliant book that I was reading on Kindle. It just came out 2 days ago. I'm constantly reading more and more information, you know, about this, because I just think it's something that right now we're at the same place we were in the early 90s, where people are talking about the World Wide Web and the dawn of the Internet is going to change our lives. I mean, we really are, you know, at that same stage where we're going to see a foundational evolution of commerce, of state interaction, of the way data is stored and the way people maintain sovereignty over the data that right now they're just freely giving out whether they realize it or not. I think the blockchain is a fundamental evolution of the way we're going to be living our lives. And I think that when we're values aligned and working with values aligned partners and working with nation states and global organizations that see that we must improve the quality of life for people on this planet in order to, you know, evolve the direction we're going as a species, as a society, as different world cultures. That's how we're going to evolve change. We really see ourselves as human beings on a precipice where we can choose to live in a Philip K. Dick, you know, do androids dream of electric sheep, which ultimately became known as Blade Runner type future, where technology is our enemy and the world is this bleak, survival oriented, get what you can because you're the only person that matters type environment and technology is fighting against you. Or we can choose to go along a Gene Roddenberry Star Trek, you know, race doesn't exist. We are human beings. We can evolve past our enmity and past our poverty and past our war footing and truly become international, intergalactic citizens. I know that sounds sort of hippy-dippy and some visionary, but I mean, truly, I think that we are now able to leverage the technological tools at our avail to become, you know, interplanetary citizens. You know, we're working on that. We know that, you know, my grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to be either living in a very bleak future or a very prosperous future. We want to put the right tools in place so that that can be the case, the latter.
Wonderful. And there you have it, folks. And one last thing, if people want to learn more about you and about your mission, how can they do that? What's some social information that they could connect with you on?
Well, I mean, certainly. I mean, it's Arnold Strong is my name. And, you know, our website is unified.earth. You can track me on social. You can track our company on social there. You can interact with me there. You know, I'm Arnold Strong on LinkedIn. You know, I think it's Arnold B. Strong. I try to differentiate with my middle initial. Yeah, I'm Arnold at unifyholding.com if they want to drop me an email, or you can follow us at unify.earth. We've also got a social presence, Instagram, you know, Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera.
Well, thank you, Arnold, for being on the Open Mic podcast today. I really appreciate it. And all of his information will be available in our show notes as well. Again, Arnold, thank you so much for being here.
We totally appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to represent the company, Brett. Thank you so very much.
And that brings today's episode to a close. Thank you, everybody, for listening in and joining. Be sure to shoot us an email. Let us know what you thought about the show, any feedback, any comments, questions, or concerns. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. And we'll be back next week with more amazing episodes. Until next time, let somebody know that you love them and let them know that you care. And we will talk to you next week.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.